Hello, everyone, and welcome to Therapy in a Nutshell. I'm Emma McAdam, a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is the podcast where I condense mental health skills into bite-sized nuggets of help. This video is sponsored by BetterHelp, where you can get professional, affordable online counseling for around $65 a week. So check out the link in the description for 10% off your first month. Hello everyone, Emma McAdam here. Today we're going to talk about all or nothing thinking. Once I had a job interview at a company I really wanted to work at. I was pretty fresh out of school and this company had a very good reputation for being one of the best programs. So I got an interview and it was just a few days after coming out of the field at this adventure therapy program. And I went to the interview and it was one of those interviews where they have like five people in the room. And because the people doing the interviews were therapists, they asked some questions that were like designed to throw me off a little bit. And I'll be honest with you, I actually cried in the interview. Now, if you know me well, you'll know that I actually cry pretty frequently, especially when I care a lot about something. And I am no longer that bothered by it. But I went out of that interview thinking that I had completely bombed it. Now, when you make a mistake, it's easy to think that the whole interview was awful, or that the interview was a complete waste of time, or even that you're a complete failure. But this type of thinking might be making you depressed, because it's a cognitive distortion. So today, we're going to talk about all or nothing thinking. Despite the popular belief that depression is simply a biological condition, it's actually a lot more complicated than that. Which is awesome because it means that there's a whole lot of options for you, things you can learn, skills you can develop that can make a huge difference. Depression is treatable. So today we're going to explore another cognitive distortion, a thinking pattern that if you do it a lot, it's going to make you more depressed and anxious. So all or nothing thinking sounds like, if I'm not perfect, I'm a failure. Or don't even bother if you can't get it right. Or, if I'm not going to win, I'm not going to try. With all or nothing thinking, you might believe that any outcome less than 100% equals 0%. All or nothing thinking makes you think that if you've messed up, it's pointless to keep trying. This is faulty thinking. It lies because it ignores the progress that you've made. It ignores the successes that you've had. Or it really just denies the fact that truth is nuanced and has lots of parts to it. All or nothing thinking means that you're only seeing one side of things, and it's usually the negative side. All or nothing thinking convinces you that you have to do everything right, or why bother? And it basically encourages you to quit trying. All or nothing thinking is a cognitive distortion that can make you depressed because it convinces you that something's hopeless when it actually isn't. Hence the disorder part of major depressive disorder. But here's the crazy thing about cognitive distortions. When you're in the thick of them, or when you're stuck in a depressive spiral, you're not going to notice that you're using a distorted thinking pattern. You're just going to believe your thoughts. When you tell yourself that I'm a complete failure, or nobody likes me, or I have no friends, you're probably just gonna think that those thoughts are true. So if you want to work on healing from depression, learning to notice and replace all or nothing thinking is going to be an important skill that can make all the difference. Now, going back to my job interview, I actually got the job. I did pretty well during the rest of the interview. And the part where I got a little teary was because I was telling the director how much I cared about the families I was working with at the last program I'd been at. And lucky for me, I was applying to a program that valued emotional realness. So if I, in that moment of, discouragement, had let all or nothing thinking run my life, I would have missed out on a really excellent opportunity because I actually was capable for the job that I was applying for. So all or nothing thinking makes you give up too soon. It prevents you from being successful in many situations that aren't actually hopeless. They just feel hopeless because of the way you're thinking. Thinking in extremes can make it really difficult to see alternatives or solutions to a problem. For someone with depression or anxiety, this often means only seeing the downside to any situation. And this type of thinking often shows up in how we perceive ourselves. Let me give just another quick example. I had a client who was recently late to a session. He lives over 2 hours away, and he always makes sure to be over 30 minutes early. But he'd had a visitor that day, and they got a little confused on what time to leave, and they ended up leaving quite late. The whole drive to my office, he was saying, "This is pointless. Why bother? We're never going to make it. What's the point in even going? We might as well just go back home." Now, they ended up making it to the session. They arrived 1 minute late, and we got some really good things done. If he had listened to all or nothing thinking, he wouldn't have even given himself the chance to try, and he would have missed out on his session. But driving to the session was really stressful for him. He was courageous and he chose to try anyway, and it worked out for him. But even when he had made it to the session, I had to convince him to notice the positive, that being 1 minute late was actually due to his diligence and to his good habits and not a failure. He had a positive trait of being early to appointments, and because of that, he made it on time, even with a mix-up. But that distorted thinking had tried to convince him that by being 1 minute late, he was actually a failure. So, if we want to combat depression and beat all or nothing thinking, there are some basic steps we can take. Now, the first one, as usual, if you've watched my videos, you will not be surprised. The first thing is noticing. You've got to notice this type of thinking. It's like wearing a pair of dark glasses. When you take them off and look at them, you can actually see the other things around. So you can actually see other ways of seeing a situation. You can look at your thinking. Now, this is a skill from acceptance and commitment therapy. It's called cognitive diffusion, and it's learning to look at your thoughts instead of looking through your thoughts. But here's a couple of ways to identify all or nothing thinking in yourself. So first off, what kind of words do you use? So any extreme kind of wording, like always, never, everything, nothing, totally, completely, ruined, can't, no one, etc. Anytime you're using extreme thinking or extreme words, that's a good sign that you're using all or nothing thinking. And then identify in what type of scenarios do you tend to think this way. So for example, do you tend to do it with school or with social situations or when you're really tired? And if you can notice those situations, you might be more likely to catch yourself thinking this way. When you catch yourself thinking this way, you could say something like, "Oh, there's that faulty thinking again," or, "Oh, there's all or nothing thinking." And when you notice it, then you can realize that just because you think something, that doesn't mean that it's true or helpful. Our amazing brain can have all types of thoughts that run through your brain, but just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. So if you can't tell if a thought is true or not, it may be helpful to ask yourself, does thinking this way help you accomplish your values? Does it help you make good choices about where to devote your energy or whether to take risks? If it doesn't help you live the life that you want to live, then it's probably not the type of thinking that you want to hang on to. You could also try to name an emotion instead of creating a distorted reality. So instead of saying, "No one likes me," say, "I feel lonely." Instead of saying, "I'm a complete failure," you could say, "I feel anxious about my career." When you identify emotions, it gives you a chance to do something. So if instead of thinking, "Everyone hates me," you say, "I feel lonely," then it opens up the opportunity to reach out to some people and to feel more connected, to actually solve a problem. Okay, another way to combat all or nothing thinking is to explore other ways of seeing a problem. So you look for alternatives, you look for a more nuanced approach. You try to see both the good and the bad. You might say something like, "Well, I did some things great, I did some things good, and I made some mistakes." Ask yourself, what can I learn from this? So for example, if I left that interview thinking I completely bombed it, I could say, "Well, what could I learn that would help me do better next time?" Also, you can use the word "and" instead of "or." So instead of saying, "I had a great week," or "I had a terrible week," say, oh, I had some wonderful things happen this week, and I had some things that were difficult. So instead of saying, I'm a good person, or he's a bad person, say, I have a lot of great qualities, and I do a lot of good things, and sometimes I make mistakes and poor decisions. Another thing you can do to kind of question that all or nothing thinking is to get perspective from someone you trust. So someone whose opinion you value, ask them how they see the situation. And so that's a way that you can start to replace that all or nothing thinking with some alternative thoughts. Notice how I'm not telling you to just focus on the positive. The reason I do that is because just seeing the positive can also make you mentally ill. Like as in narcissism. Or for example, if you mess up in a relationship and you only see the positive, that can lead you to deny any responsibility that you might have or prevent you from learning skills you need to improve yourself. So I always go back to values. What kind of person do you want to be? If someone always sees themselves as the worst person ever, this doesn't help them grow. Or if someone sees themselves as, I'm perfect, I never do anything wrong, that also doesn't help them grow. A more helpful alternative would be to acknowledge both your strengths and your weaknesses, and to hold yourself with a growth mindset. Replacing all or nothing thinking is not trying to fake yourself out by saying, no, you were perfect, everything went fine. It's that you're trying to create the space that gives you personal power, the ability to choose action that lines up with your goals and your values. So with the job interview example, it's not that you try to convince yourself that everything was fine. It's that all or nothing thinking says, give up, don't even bother. Because you made that mistake, you might as well never interview again. Now, if I'm trying to change some of my own behavior, it always helps me to figure out what function does that negative behavior serve. So what function does all or nothing thinking serve? I mean, obviously it messes us up in the long run, but there's a reason that we do it. Why would we think this way? And in my opinion, it's because it's self-protective. It keeps us from taking risks. It keeps us from being vulnerable. So for example, if I'm trying to stick to a diet and I mess up once, all or nothing thinking says, well, now that you've completely failed, you might as well just eat a whole quart of ice cream, right? Keeps me from having to try so hard. Or here's another example. If a man calls and asks a woman out on a date, but she doesn't call him back, he may think, I'm a total loser with nothing to offer, or no one wants to go out with me, or I will never find the right person, so why bother? If we really want to change our thinking, we have to replace all that self-protectiveness with choosing to be vulnerable. Stay engaged in the process. Still reach out to that employer. Keep trying to eat better. Try again to ask someone out. You've got to stay open to both success and failure. This takes conscious risk management and vulnerability. You might get sad if you don't get the job, or you might get hurt if she rejects you. But living this way opens you up to learning more and even possibly getting the job, or at the very least applying to a similar job in the future. This way of thinking leaves open space for you to live the life you value instead of just shrinking back in depression or anger. This requires you to tolerate uncertainty. So instead of saying, I'm a terrible person, say, I've got some things to work on and I'm doing okay in other areas. Being vulnerable meant that my client had to accept the stress of driving when he worried that he'd be late. And that was the alternative to just giving up and staying home, but being upset about it. So I'm going to encourage you to choose to act on your values, even when it's uncomfortable or risky. The last thing that can help replace all or nothing thinking is to practice self-compassion. Choose to respond to your mistakes with kindness instead of harshness. When you make a mistake, it can be tempting to think that if you beat yourself up, you'll be less likely to mess up again. But the exact opposite is more likely. The harsher we are towards ourselves, the less willing we are to be open to learning and trying things that help us grow. Remember, how we consistently respond to ourselves creates a spiral of emotions. And beating yourself up over and over again might lead to depression. So instead of beating yourself up, acknowledge that setbacks and mistakes happen. It's human to make mistakes. Your worth is not dependent on being perfect. Another aspect of self-compassion is just to speak to yourself in the way that you'd encourage a friend. If you wouldn't say something to a friend, don't say it to yourself. Now, you really can combat depression and anxiety by replacing all-or-nothing thinking with a more helpful approach, and this can change your life for the better. Keep working on it little by little, and over time, you'll start to see improvements. Thank you for watching. Please subscribe and take care. This podcast was adapted from a YouTube video from my YouTube channel, Therapy in a Nutshell. So if you'd like to see more of my videos, check that out and go subscribe on YouTube. Also, you can sign up for my newsletter at www.therapynutshell.com. Thank you for listening and take care.